Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And I guess the secret society of the Federal Reserve had a meeting, and I guess they decided that they don't want to share what they were meeting about. And, of course, why they would have met yesterday and what they were meeting about. And only the shadow knows. And, you know, again, it can only be that maybe they're going to try to bump rates earlier than December. Or maybe they're going to come out with a QE4. It's actually hard to get a real read on anything because everything is near dead flat. It's almost holiday time already. And this, I think, goes in the pattern more of the way we trade now, which is nothing goes on. We either go up or we don't go anywhere. And, you know, as you look, you can see that we saw yesterday not OPEC, but Saudi Arabia said, okay, we're going to go along. We're going to, you know, play fair. And, of course, oil rallied, and it had like a 3% rally or about $2 in about, I think it's about 20 minutes. And, of course, then it came back, and everything is hovering, give or take, around the unchanged level. We're 10 days out from the terrorist attacks and nobody cares. And, you know, of course, again, not to sound callous or nasty, but when it comes to money, guys who can figure out how to make it, they don't really care how they get there, because there's been a lot of money made or in this country over the years on the backs of the not so fortunate. So, you know, at the end, you know, what is the Fed possibly waiting for, and why can't they just say, okay, we're going to raise rates? Okay, I don't think they are. I think that they realize that they have a problem. Now, there's a theory, you know, we've got right now the dollar approaching highs that it hasn't seen for a while. And the theory is out there is, well, they're assuming a rate cut. So a rate increase. If they raise rates, then the dollar will sell off anyways. And if they don't raise rates, the dollar will sell off harder. That is the predominant theory in today's world, because, you know, as you know or don't know, and if you don't know, you should understand this, markets themselves make a lot of assumptions going forward. Markets themselves price in what they expect, or in other words, called market expectation. And when you think about it that way, of course they're pushing up the dollar. Now, again, if they're wrong, okay, well, then the dollar will come tumbling down. Now, it's my understanding, and I have no factual basis for this, but it is my understanding that the banks are super short the U.S. dollar. Now, again, I don't have proof. I'm only going by what I was told by a source that I believe is reliable. Okay, so I don't know that to be factual, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, because again, they realize that if the Fed does raise, it makes our dollar stronger, so they've already priced in. And if they don't raise, the dollar is going to have to crumble, because the reason they will not raise is to manipulate the currency a little bit more. Because what's happening is, if you haven't noticed, we're in a commodity collapse. I mean, we're past a sell-off. We're past the blistering. We're now in a collapse. We are approaching 17-year lows in the commodity space and stocks that are involved. U.S. Steel, I mean, just every day makes a new low. Chesapeake Energy, every day makes a new low. Now, again, those aren't the strongest of those groups, but those really show you how much trouble is really in those sectors. I mean, again, you know, you take into consideration that copper, I forget how many year low it made now. I mean, it's, you know, everything is worthless. All assets are worthless, especially gold. Now, gold continues to make new lows, Where is my man Kramer now saying that it's going to 5,000? I mean, I remember him chirping, it's 5,000, going 5,000. Well, I guess 5,000 is come and gone. I guess now maybe we're going to 1,000. So there's not a great read, and I do believe that there is an accumulation. I think there's a sale on paper gold, which is the ETFs, and accumulation on physical gold. Okay, I think it's interesting. Again, it doesn't mean anything today, but it could mean something eventually. But at the end of the day, what do we got? We have the same crap we had before. Nothing's changed. We've got a market that continues to try to grind harder. Now, this week is a challenging week. Obviously, tomorrow is, even though it's a full day, it's like a half a day. I mean, the whole week's been like a half a day so far because nobody cares. There's nothing going on. And the only surprise you could get, in my opinion, is we could have a bigger sell-off. Now, I'm not predicting that, nor am I looking for that. But we talk a lot about markets and how they trade during holidays. And think of it this way. Okay, you've got a factory that usually employs 1,000 people. During the holidays, you employ 200, and you just have a skeleton crew just in case something goes wrong. Well, that's really what you have going on in the stock market right now, is you have a skeleton crew that is there just in case something goes wrong. But the big time traders, they don't want to be bothered on the holiday. A lot of them, you know, now Thanksgiving has come from more than just a Thursday, Friday weekend holiday, but it's become almost a week long. You know, a lot of the schools get out early, you know, so for the whole week. So now it's become more of a spring break or a winter break, early winter break. So I don't expect anything. Now, again, the only thing that in my opinion, again, the only thing that I could think that would drive the markets lower would be some sort of black swan event that has not been priced into the market. And if you go back, I don't know, it's a long years ago, but let's say 6 years ago, when Dubai had a black swan event on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving night, and it obviously the markets got destroyed on Friday, oil was plummeting. And then, of course, cooler heads prevailed and it came right back. But that's the only, in my opinion, that's the only thing that's going to drive the market will be something of that nature that creates an event that, you know, nobody can account for. And that's what we're looking at. You know, at the end of the day, it's really just, you know, a little bit of selling is not going to hurt it. Typically, Thanksgiving week is higher, but we've been up so much recently that I wouldn't be surprised to see it flat or even a bit lower. But I really do not expect a runaway in any direction because there's just no reason for it right now. Again, we've got the Fed in secret handshake meetings. God knows what they're doing there. We've got an economy that is in a total shambles. Okay, but, you know, again, does it really matter? And the answer is no, it doesn't really matter because the market is an independent animal that trades by itself. It doesn't care about the economy. It doesn't care that Pfizer is inverting and going and bought an Irish company so that they could pay taxes there instead of here. The market doesn't care about those things. Right now, what the market cares about is one thing. Greedy traders are getting greedier, and the chase for yield lives on. That is all that you have to think about right now that's driving the market. Now, we are at resistance levels pretty much across the board. But again, there's no telling when the market will sell off because when they're thin and they're light and there's not much going on, it's hard to get a rhythm. And if you remember the one thing for sure, markets are predetermined or predestined to go higher on their own with no interference. Markets would drift higher. That's why the old saying, you never sell a dull market because there's always money coming in to buy. Why? Because that's where mutual fund money, that's where 401k money, IRA money, that always goes into the market. So typically there's always buying to do. But we'll see. Again, after we hear from the secret handshake brethren of the Fed, we'll know better. But we're going to step out here for a break and we're going to come back with Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and I got my friend, my man, one of the smartest guys I know in this business, Adam Shapiro from Fox Business. Welcome back, Adam.
Thank you. It's good to speak with you again.
You know, I don't often get to talk to you, and you've done so many good reports, and I really tried to get you on after your FAA report because I thought that was unbelievable. But I know there's something on your mind right now, which is the Obama Healthcare, the United Healthcare deal, and things like that. Take us through what's going on there and what you're seeing.
Well, so on Thursday, the CEO of United Health said that essentially they really can't afford Obamacare, and they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars. They expect to have to offset $425 million in their fourth quarter earnings because the subsidies aren't there as the administration had promised. Let me read you the sentence that's very important from this guy's statement. His name is Stephen Helmsley, and then let's put it in English. So here's the quote. In recent weeks, growth expectations for individual exchange participation have tempered industry-wide. Cooperatives have failed, and market data has signaled higher risks and more difficulties while our own claims experience has deteriorated. Okay, so here's what's going on. In that sentence, when he says, in recent weeks, growth expectations for individual exchange participants have tempered industry-wide, people are not signing up in the numbers that were expected. And the particular people who are not signing up are young people. Remember that the whole structure of the numbers to make Obamacare work through the cooperative exchanges, the insurance exchanges, was young, healthy people needed to buy insurance, and their premiums would essentially subsidize the older people who might be less healthy, who take more advantage of the health care program and then therefore use their health insurance. So what they found, though, the individual exchange participation has tempered industry-wide. This isn't just United Health. What they're seeing is that young people sign up for the benefits if they need something, you know, to take care of, and then they drop the benefits afterward. And then they pay the $100, remember that? The $100 fine.
Right.
So it's cheaper for them to come in and then go out. And since they're not there, it's more expensive for the insurance companies because the people who need the health care later on in life, the older people, do need it. But one, the government subsidies are not the same amount that had been originally structured. And here's the other part. Cooperatives have failed. The cooperatives are failing. 12 this year. Now, you look, at the end of the day, you can say whatever you want, and the Health and Human Services yesterday put out a statement saying that they disagreed. I'm going to pull up that statement right now, by the way, because it's important to what they had to say about all this. But they're saying that United Health is wrong, that the healthcare cooperatives are stable. But they're not stable. 12 have failed. Why have they failed? Because they can't afford the program as it was set up. It's, you know, premiums are what? You know, your deductible is $2,000 in some cases. Your premium has gone up more than 7%, and they still can't make this work. I mean, this is a very serious issue. And, you know, you got the largest insurance company in the country saying, we might not be able to offer insurance this way next year.
I mean, doesn't it make sense? I mean, the whole program was kind of a debacle and a disaster from the beginning. Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't say it was a disaster. I would say debacle, absolutely. I think there are a lot of people who got insurance who at the very beginning would say they're very appreciative and that it's working for them. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not working.
Now, one of the things I've noticed in our country recently is, you know, because of a lot of these new programs and, you know, the Obamacare, and I'm not going to bash Obamacare, but just in general, mm-hmm. what we've really seen is we've taken away really free markets and price discovery pretty much everywhere. And, you know, again, the idea of Obamacare was great to insure everybody. However, if you're a young guy that doesn't have problems and aren't going to have to pay a lot, I mean, I pay myself, you know, $2,500 a month for my family. Okay. So that's $30,000 a year that I'm paying in insurance. But, you know, if you're a young guy single, young gal single, you know, you don't have these kind of costs. So why do you want to get involved and support, you know, the big pool so that everybody can be insured, when I understand that we all have to be insured and it's a problem, but overall, it doesn't really solve the issue. And the way it was laid out did not really solve the problem. In fact, it became a bigger crippling effect than a lot more companies. And you can see what's happening with United Healthcare.
Yeah, you summed it up right there. I mean, look, did we insure more people? Yes. We absolutely did. Can we afford it the way that it's been set up? I think what you're seeing from the health insurance companies, no. And what the health insurance companies, they want the government, you and me, the taxpayers, to ensure or to guarantee they're not going to lose money. And, you know, this is, you know, it is a real, what's the quagmire? I mean, we're just going to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into this thing. And until it's fixed or obliterated, I'm not sure what the answer is going to be. Congress is going to have to do something. But you can't have the insurance company saying, you know what, it's not working, therefore we're not going to do it. Oh, I clicked on this thing to pull up the Health and Human Services statement, and it starts playing a video.
I think it has to be obliterated. That's my personal opinion. I think it needs to be restructured. Again, look, I'm all for helping and making sure that everybody can be insured and everybody's on a fair and equal path. But the way it's being done, and there are so many more ways to do it, and I think better ways, especially based on we've now become such an entitlement society. I mean, you know, 50% of people are on some sort of public aid of some sort. And if we take that money and let markets trade freely and let people trade freely, I think we'd find out we'd probably get better pricing and be able to accommodate everybody. You have any thought to that?
You know, my thoughts on healthcare are there was a need before the Affordable Care Act, what we call Obamacare, to offer relief to people who had an unexpected illness and were being forced into bankruptcy. The number one cause of bankruptcy, this is a fact, prior to, I think it was 2010 or 11, was this unintended, unexpected health issue. And there were several of our fellow citizens who did not have insurance. So that needed to be addressed. I don't know if Obamacare was the right way to do it. There are lots of much wiser minds than mine who had different theories on how we should do this. But the issue has solved, Obamacare has solved one thing. It's brought health insurance to more people. But if you can't pay for it, you're going to wind up destroying a system, and there's going to be less health insurance to go, health care to go around. I mean, that's what eventually would happen. And what United Healthcare has said is this does not, they can't do it, and they're going to pull out. And it's going to defeat the whole purpose of why this was set up in the first place. And you can't blame the insurance company. You can't force someone or a company to do something that doesn't work. And, you know, the administration's statement on this is that United Healthcare, they don't say in their response that they don't say that they don't call out United Healthcare by name. They say one insurer is inaccurate. They say today's statement by one insurer is not indicative of the marketplace strength and viability. 12 exchanges failed. What does that tell you? I think there are 33 exchanges and 12 have failed.
Well, it tells us that that there's a problem, and of course, just switching topics a little bit, because I love getting your opinion, and you're on top of it. I mean, that's the truth. You get it, you watch it, you know it, and you've got your own opinion, which is great. Now, obviously, we've had this new recent, you know, well, it's not recent, but the ISIS, the terror, the attacks, the problem in Mali, the whole thing. And yet our leader really has not stepped up and said, hey, you know, we need to do something about it. Do you have an opinion on what we should be doing here and how we should be handling this crisis?
I have to be honest with you on when I get asked questions of opinion. I do have opinions, but I don't share my opinions.
Okay.
My role is to
report, cover
stories and present the facts. And like most Americans, I do have opinions on a lot of things, but honestly, people don't want my opinion. What they want are the facts. And in order to protect the ability of me to do my job, I don't share my opinions. It's kind of like why I don't invest in individual stock. You would not trust me if I was reporting on General Electric and I owned General Electric stock. So I try to avoid my opinions. And I also don't think I'm smart enough to share my opinions
with
a lot of people. I share them with friends.
What do you think?
My friend. I'll share it with you when we're not talking with lots of people listening.
What are the facts? Are there any facts that you can share with us that you've been seeing?
Well, the facts are, I can tell you what, you know, a lot of people were very upset with the president at that Q&A earlier this week at the press conference, in which he was asked point blank, you know, how do you defeat, I'm not sure I can say the word that the reporter used, but how do you defeat?
How do you defeat the bastards? That's what you
said. Okay, there you go. And people were shocked in the United States at the president's tone and response to that.
We're going to come back with our friend Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News. Really man about town, does it all, is all over the place on Fox. And he's really a great guy, and we love him, and we love to have him on the show when we can get him. So we're going to step out here, but we want to remind you to check out the hedging program and go to BubbaTrading.com, and you will see the best decision you could ever make in your lifetime to learn how to hedge your portfolio. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back after the break with more from Adam Shapiro. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
You're so delicious. You're so...
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you, and we've got our good friend, Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News, and we're talking about some of the reaction from our great leader, Mr. President Obama, and a few other things. So let's get back with our interview with Adam Shapiro now.
A lot of people, liberals and conservatives, could not believe that the president responded in a manner that was deemed to be condescending. I've answered that question already, is what he said. And what you hear a lot of analysts saying, especially people in Europe, is where is the Winston Churchill of our generation to lead the Western world to stand up to the thuggerism, which is, you know, attacking innocent individuals? You know, where is the person who stands up to say, this is wrong, this must be defeated?
Well, unfortunately, he, as Elvis, he has left the building and is not being...
No, the president said that ISIS, Daesh, whatever you want to call them, had been contained.
Yeah, I know. They've been contained. And, of course, I'm not going to get into politics because, again, I don't want to get into opinions here. But so let's move on, because I know you don't have a lot of time, but I want to make sure I get some things. So, looking at the retail environment, and I know we're jumping around, but I know you report on that as well. The retail environment is awful. And, you know, I don't know if there's a solution, if you see a bright light, if there's something that I'm missing. I know you did a report on Walmart, but tell me, I know they did okay, but of course the stock's down 37% this year. What are you seeing overall in the retail space? And do you think that we're on the mend, or is it going to get worse first?
I think that we're in the mend. I think that the holiday shopping season might surprise to the upside. I think Amazon is going to clean house and eat everybody's lunch. I think Amazon.com is just going to be have a terrific holiday shopping season. I think companies like Target, which is down year-to-date 6%, they're looking at structural changes as to how they do things. And you have this, they call it fancy word, omni-level marketing, which is essentially an omni-level retail. They're selling stuff across every potential platform, whether it be brick and mortar and online. And you see this in, Amazon is having its deals already before the Black Friday holiday. You see Best Buy offering free shipping. But the reason I'm optimistic about a rebound in retail is that wages have started to go up. After almost a decade of stagnant wages for the middle class, there's more money in people's pockets. And you really see it very simply in the cheap gasoline price. AAA is expecting gas to be, by Christmas, below $2 a gallon on average. That puts money in people's pockets. And a lot of Americans have not had a true, genuine raise in the last 8 years. and now they're getting one. And people will spend money when they get it. Sometimes they pay down debt. We saw that as well right after the recession. Now, but I think we're going to see people spend money on gifts.
Now, if I said that I felt that the middle class were still in a recession and that the extra money that they're saving on gas are using it to eat and pay bills, what would you say?
I would say there are people that are absolutely doing that. I think a lot of the paying down of debt took place in the first part of the recession. I think the middle class has been very hard hit hard because of stagnant wages during the recovery, and that the money that's going in their pockets, that the debt burden on the middle class isn't the same as it was just 8 years ago. So I think it frees people up to make decisions. As far as putting food on the table, you know, a lot of our countrymen are making very hard choices in what is supposed to be an economic recovery, and the Federal Reserve is going to start raising interest rates in December. You know, they're telling us that they have to prepare us for it, and it's going to drive up the cost of a mortgage and a car loan. But that's not going to happen until December 15th or 16th when they put out their statement. And I think people are going to just feel a little bit freer to spend some money before all that.
All right, last two questions. Okay, number one, do you believe, Adam Shapiro, that the Fed will raise rates in December?
Yes.
Okay, I say no, but we'll see what happens there. Now, last but not least, but again, the FAA story, yes. You did an unbelievable job covering that entire situation.
Yep.
Any updates on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you update?
We continue to have a shortage of qualified personnel being brought into the system to be trained as air traffic controllers. The air traffic controllers are threatening work slowdowns because they are overworked in airports like in Los Angeles and other major airports because they don't have the bodies to replace the people that need a break. It's a mess. The air traffic control system is a mess, and the FAA is trying to keep things together, but they don't know how to keep it together. The problem is that the insiders who want to make some real changes are terrified about retribution, and so they haven't gone public. But the FAA story is very much alive.
Adam Shapiro, have a happy Thanksgiving. I always appreciate when you come on. You are awesome. You bring a lot of great points, and I wish you joy. Your opinion. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad you're here, and I always enjoy watching you. I catch you whenever you're on.
Can I just share with you one thing about the opinion?
Yes.
Because I really do think that that most people who consume media, news media, need people there are plenty of people who will share their opinion. I think that your listeners and my viewers want more people who will just say, here are the facts. And when you hear from people at Fox, we report, you decide, that is the gospel. It really is. Here are the facts. You decide how to interpret them. I think it's condescending if I tell people how they should interpret facts. It's really up to them to decide.
That's unbelievable, and that's why we love Adam Shapiro. Adam Shapiro, Fox Business. Catch him. He's filling in early in the mornings. You can, if you're an early riser like me, you can watch him at starting at 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, doing a whole bunch of stuff, filling in. So, Adam, thank you so much for being here, and have a great Thanksgiving, man.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great Thanksgiving, too.
Our friend Adam Shapiro from Fox Business, and he covers it, you know, it all. And you know, you heard his maybe didn't his special on the FAA, and he kind of, you know, digs down deep into a lot of the stories that you hear. But one of the nice things about Adam is he really understands the whole priority and the program of the things that we're looking into. And of course, he graciously declined to give us his opinion, something that I'll never do. I always give you my opinion. You can do with that what you wish. But, you know, it's great to have on a guy like Adam because he is really a master of, you know, being around, understanding, been in the business for a number of years in journalism. So that was great. And, you know, what did you think of his perspective of the way that we have seen our leadership here in this country? You know, it's really sad that we can't get, and I don't care which side of the aisle takes leadership. I just want to see leadership. I mean, are you not ready to see somebody take charge? I mean, even to his FAA story. I mean, when are we going to come back and be Americans that we are? When are we going to become strong again? When are we going to, you know, take back control, you know, to make things better? You know, that's what I'm looking for. I just want a peaceful, happy, world that's progressing, that's making progress, that's growing. I mean, I don't think anybody wants any different than that. We want to grow. We want to be America. We want to be what we were meant to be. And what we were meant to be was the leaders of the free world. And at the rate we're going with our great leader now practicing Marxism, communism, socialism, whichever one of those you want to put in here, it doesn't appear that we're getting there. In fact, it appears if we're up to them or him, we would be all robots except for the entitled and the very rich. And I find that a rather disturbing message that is being sent by our leader, saying basically, he didn't care about anything. And to have him taking jabs at the Republicans, and I get all the politic crap. I mean, again, look, I think it's stupid on both parts. Again, I'm not blaming, this is not something I would blame Mr. Obama for, because they're all imbeciles, in my personal opinion, because we have lost sight of what it is we're really trying to accomplish. And what we're trying to accomplish is to be a free nation and to be, you know, busy with jobs and manufacturing and building and doing what we do best, okay? The greatest country in the world. And I think somewhere along the line, we've missed that target. We've missed that message as to what we're supposed to be. And that, to me, is scary in just a general overall tone, because, you know, when you look at, you know, where we've come from and then where we've been going, you know, you look at the debt, you look at the other problems that are being created. Okay. Now, again, I'm not blaming Obama. He can't make all these problems by himself. He's doing a good job, but he can't make them all by himself. Okay, he's got to have help. And, you know, I mean, even, you know, from the debt ceiling to this, I mean, you know, I've said this maybe 1,000 times on air, but it always bears repeating. If any one of us were doing what the federal government is doing, okay, we would be in one of two places, bankruptcy court or jail. Now, why is it that our government does not have to live within a budget? Okay, why is it that they can spend more than they take in? Now, certainly, a system can be calibrated. I'm sure we have enough smart people in this world that can figure out how to balance the budget and stay balanced. And if that means maybe cutting back on some stuff, well, what would be wrong with that? Okay, I mean, America's hard. Being a citizen is hard. It's not there is no guarantee. Okay, you know, there's just so many things to look at. And that's really why the Badger and I always talk to you about the hedging program, because that's how important it is so that you don't lose what you have because of the things that you have no control over. Anyways, we'll be back after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz stepping out here for a break. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
To 10,000 beers in 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, yeah, I started to talk about this a little bit in the end of the last segment. And I want to know, where is it written, where is it meant to be that everybody is supposed to get a handout if they don't make it on their own? Okay. I mean, again, I love helping veterans. Why aren't they getting more, by the way? Okay. I mean, people who served this country, people who came back that, you know, had troubles emotionally, readjusting to society. But when people ask for more benefits and they don't want to work because the benefits are a bigger package, isn't that the problem? Is that not the problem that we're creating? Now, you know, I go, where is it that I'm guaranteed the silver spoon in my mouth that says I don't have to go out and get a job, I don't have to go out and work, I don't have to do anything but sit home on my fat ass and eat bonbons? I mean, where is it that we are allowing people to stay on the company payroll without having to go out and get a job. Okay, why do we allow that? Where is it that we, I mean, you know, you have to give up. If you're going to take, you should have to give up something. Because at the current rate, all they're doing is buying votes for every election. Now, why is that fair? Why is that fair for me when I go out and work 17 hours a day and make my living, and somebody sits at home and I'm helping finance that person sitting at home? Now, again, I understand there's problems, but the disparity in the amount of freebies that are given is not fair. And if we're going to give away all those freebies, then I believe that they should have to give up something. Okay. And I believe that you should have to give up your right to vote, because then the Democratic Party, in this case, is not buying the vote. Now, what's wrong with that? You know, are we going to continue to dole out money and spend more than we take in and continue to tax the middle class, who gets punished the worst in this system? I mean, is it not bad enough that major corporations are continuing to leave the United States through the inversion method, and which means they're buying a smaller company somewhere else so that they can take their taxes overseas? I mean, when will we learn that that doesn't work? I mean, as much money as we give away in entitlements, we could subsidize better manufacturing jobs right here in the good old United States of America. We wouldn't have to ship all these jobs out to China. Okay. You know, by the time with China, you know, if you pay something, for, you know, if you pay $6 or something manufactured, you know, by the time you get it, it costs you 10 or 11 between duty and all the other crap. Why do we have to find that to support the other nations when we could do it right here ourselves? Why did we allow the cheap labor to overtake us when, in the meantime, we're willing to be $15 or $18 or $20 trillion in debt? If you're going to go in debt, why not go in debt to your own people? Why not go in debt right here and rebuild the country? Okay, but I'm not just talking about the roads, bridges, and levees, which we've always been a part of wanting to rebuild. But why not go in and rebuild the manufacturing and put these people back to work? Okay, why do we want to continue to take our money, our hard-earned dollars, and spend them in China? Why can't we subsidize the factories here? What the hell? We subsidize Elon Musk and his crap. And listen, nothing wrong with him. He's a smart guy. I love him. I think he's great. Solar City and Tesla. But what's wrong with the American people? That's what I want to know. Why aren't we subsidizing our own? Why aren't we creating jobs and putting together a package? So instead of, you know, giving it into air and throwing it in the garbage can, which is basically what we're doing, why aren't we saying, hey, we can put together a car manufacturing plant here. We can put together a toy manufacturing plant there. Okay. Why is it that we don't do that? It can't be the labor. I mean, let the people that are collecting the company payroll, you know, let them go to work there. Okay. Or stop the benefits. You know, either you have to make a decision at some point, and if you're an able-bodied American, you should be working. Okay. Now, again, I understand their circumstances. If you're a veteran, hey, and you're injured, hey, I get it. Okay. But if you're not disabled and you're capable of getting a job, why should you get more money to sit on your ass at home? That's what I want to know. Okay. I mean, you have a constant flow of cash going out. Okay. When are we going to start taking cash in? Okay. When are we going to start to change the Social Security age? Okay. At some point, somebody's got to step up and say, hey, 65 is not the right age anymore. You know, they made 65 when the average living age was 62. Okay. Well, now the average living age is 75 and we're paying them off for 65. The Ponzi scheme doesn't work that way. Okay. They've got to raise Social Security. And I don't care where you go to. If you want to go to, you know, start who's ever, if you're 21 today, you get benefits at 65. But under 21, your benefits don't start until you're 75. Okay? I mean, a lot of people have to work anyways. Why not hold back the Social Security and let them work longer? Why do we kick them out of the workforce at 65? Okay, they don't get kicked out. They just go somewhere else. I mean, isn't it about time we grew up into the 20th century or the 21st century? I mean, you know, I got to tell you something. It's a scary thought that nobody can make these decisions. We're worried about everything else, okay? But we're not worried about taking care of our own economy, okay? I guess because they got the printing presses open 24 hours a day, so they can print all they want. But to me, where is the sense in all that? Where does it say that we should live like that? Okay, now let's get into the, let's move in to the not the Stone Age in which we're living in now, and not the Middle Age. Let's move into the future. Okay, let's take care of the people that are here. Now again, you know, I always use the post office. That's the easiest one to pick on, unfortunately. And I don't think we should fire any of the workers. You can't get rid of them. But can't you move them? Can't you start closing down these buildings? Okay, and quit throwing away the rent and the electricity and everything else you have to pay for these buildings? And if you own the buildings, sell the buildings? I mean, again, pretty simple solution. Why is it that right here we can make those simple decisions, but the imbeciles in Washington can't? Doesn't that tell you that the system itself is broken down? Doesn't that tell you that we have far bigger problems? Okay. But more importantly, doesn't it tell you that our administrations are not willing to fix those problems? I mean, you know, again, we can talk to business all you want, but numbers are simple. You know, you cannot lie about numbers. Now, we know that the government business, okay, and people say, well, no, it's not a business. Well, damn right it's a business. If you're paying a payroll, okay, and you have workers, and you're doing something, whether it's a service or manufacturing, it's a business. Everybody can tell me all you want that the government is not a business. It's the biggest business in the world. Okay, but why don't they have to fall under the same guidelines that every other business has to fall under? Are we going to continue to stand idly by and let these jackasses just throw the money in the garbage can? Are you not tired of having your dollars devalued? Are you not tired of having somebody else make the decisions for you and how you're going to live the rest of your life? I mean, you would think that we would step up. And of course, that's where it goes back to. I believe that someday again, you know, I don't know when, but there'll be another revolution. Because what we're doing is we're making too many poor people. Okay? And, you know, that becomes the bigger story and the bigger problem. But I did my ranting because of the Fed, because of what Adam Shapiro told us, all of that. And that'll bring us to the end of the day, and God bless you all for listening. It's always great to be on with everybody, and I appreciate it. It gives me a chance to air out. Anyways, everybody, have a great day. Go to thebubbashow.org or bubbatrading.com and check out what we're putting up there for you. We got some great stuff. We put up some great articles. We're always well ahead of the curve. But in the meantime, that'll do it for today. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, smiling like always. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. It's late September and I really should
be back Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.